This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Imagine walking into a government office, right, and just offering a $42 billion bribe.
Yeah, a completely legal bribe.
Exactly, legally. Just so they will let you release your latest software update. I mean, it sounds like some kind of dystopian corporate thriller, but that is essentially the reality of the technology landscape this week.
It really is. The whole era of, you know, engineers in hoodies quietly pushing code from a garage, that is completely dead.
Oh, yeah. Long gone.
What we are looking at today is a high stakes, I mean, a ruthless game of geopolitical leverage. It is nations and massive corporations fighting over what is basically the fundamental power grid of the 21st century.
The new electricity. And that is exactly what we're unpacking for you today. Welcome to the Deep Dive. We are digging into a massive stack of intelligence from today's July 5th, 2026 reports, paired with some incredibly sharp analysis from lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Right, and the analysis is crucial here.
It is. Our mission today is to decode this bizarre new reality. We're going to start from backroom political deals in Washington, move through sovereign tech bunkers over in Asia, and end with a very specific practical strategy you can actually use to manage this chaotic intelligence in your own daily workflow.
Bringing it right back to the listener.
Exactly. Okay. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because the biggest shockwave this week comes straight from OpenAI. They have formally proposed giving the U.S. government a 5% equity stake in the company.
Which is just, I mean, it is a staggering number. If you look at their recent valuation, it is hovering around $852 billion.
Right.
So that translates to roughly $42.6 billion.
Over $42 billion.
Yeah. And the proposal is to place this massive chunk of equity directly into a national sovereign wealth fund.
They are just handing a massive slice of the most valuable private company in the world straight to the federal government. I mean, Sam Altman has even pitched this concept directly to President Trump and Commerce Secretary Lutnick.
Yeah, he took it right to the top.
Right to the top, arguing that Google, Meta, and Anthropic, you know, they should be forced to do the exact same thing. And we have to look past the political theater here and look at the actual mechanism. Why give away that much money?
Well, you have to look at the immediate catalyst, because this massive peace offering, it did not just materialize out of thin air.
No, the timing is very specific.
Very specific. It surfaced days after Washington aggressively delayed the deployment of OpenAI's GPT 5.6 model.
They pumped the brakes hard.
They did. The government put their foot down, demanding that OpenAI run their new model through the exact same grueling pre-evaluation gates that Anthropic has been subjected to.
So they essentially hit a regulatory brick wall that threatened their entire release schedule.
Exactly.
But I have a hard time believing this is just a generous attempt to share the wealth with the American public, which is obviously the official PR line.
Right.
Isn't OpenAI essentially treating the U.S. government like a mob boss? Like offering a $42 billion protection fee so they don't get regulated out of their market dominance?
I would argue it is even more populated than a protection fee, honestly. It is a blatant attempt at regulatory capture. Former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim provided this brilliant dissection of the move.
Yeah, his commentary on this was fascinating.
It really was. He points out that offering equity is a deliberate strategy to blunt the sword of government deployment controls. I mean, if you can replace a strict adversarial regulatory body with a shared ownership model,
the dynamic fundamentally changes.
Completely changes.
Because if the government owns 5% of the casino, they have zero incentive to shut down the gambling.
Right.
You align their financial interests with your need to move fast.
Precisely the mechanism at play. If the sovereign wealth fund depends on OpenAI's valuation soaring, well, suddenly the government has a vested interest in clearing those pre-evaluation hurdles as quickly as possible.
Makes perfect business sense for OpenAI.
It does, though, as lawyer Kyungjin Kim rightly notes, actually executing a $42 billion equity transfer, like just to establish a federal wealth fund, that would require navigating an absolute labyrinth of congressional legislation.
Oh, yeah. Years of red tape.
Exactly. It is a concept right now, not a signed contract.
But the very fact that the concept is even on the table shows how extreme the pressure has become. And this triggers a massive ripple effect globally.
Absolutely.
I mean, if Washington is throwing its weight around heavily enough to extract a $42 billion equity pitch just to keep the local models flowing, The rest of the world has to be watching this in absolute panic.
They are watching, and their reaction is to aggressively decouple from American infrastructure.
Yeah.
We are witnessing the birth of the sovereign AI era in Asia, and the scale of capital being deployed, it's just staggering.
Let's break down South Korea first, because the financial mechanics here are fascinating. They are taking $5 trillion, one hand
out. This is a huge sum.
It's huge. And it is excess tax revenue specifically generated by their semiconductor industry. And they are funneling every cent of it into a single centralized national team.
Right, a national champion model.
Exactly. The mandate is to build an entirely independent frontier model using 10,000 NVIDIA Vera Rubin GPUs.
10,000 next-generation GPUs dedicated to one sovereign project. That is the computing equivalent of a localized nuclear deterrent.
It really is. And Japan is moving even faster. You have the Noitra Consortium, which is pooling the resources of SoftBank, Sony, NEC, and Honda.
All the heavy hitters.
All of them. They are committing 1 trillion yen, which is roughly $9 billion over the next 5 years.
Oh.
But they aren't just building a chatbot. They are building a multimodal model specifically engineered for robotics, with a target to deploy 10 million robots across 18 different industries by 2040.
10 million robots. But look at the underlying motivation here. Why spend billions to reinvent the wheel when you could just, you know, rent intelligence from an American API for pennies on the dollar?
Right. That is the million-dollar question. Is this just national pride, or are they seeing a threat that we aren't?
It is an acute survival instinct. Former lawmaker King Jin Kim makes a crucial observation, tying this Asian capital surge directly to the events of June 12th.
Ah, right.
That was the day the U.S. implemented strict export controls, temporarily severing access to top-tier American models for several overseas markets.
The moment the U.S. proved they could and would just turn off the tap.
Yes. That single regulatory action terrified global markets. I mean, it demonstrated that building your national tech economy on top of an American API, that is a catastrophic single point of failure.
Yeah, you were totally at their mercy.
Exactly. If Washington decides your country is a security risk, your startups die overnight. South Korea and Japan, they are not building walled gardens out of pride. They are building sovereign bunkers.
Bonkers.
They are securing their own independent supply of intelligence so they can never be digitally blockaded.
It makes complete sense. I mean, you wouldn't let a foreign government control your water supply, so why would you let them control the cognitive infrastructure of your entire economy?
Exactly.
But while Japan and Korea are playing defense and building bunkers, China's strategy is radically different. They seem to be bypassing the API choke point altogether by weaponizing open source tech.
China's approach is a masterclass in contradictory dual-track maneuvering. On the technical global stage, they are playing a wildly aggressive open market game.
Right, because just look at the data. Zipu AI's new GLM 5.2 model just ranked number one globally for open weight intelligence.
We're number one.
But here's the kicker. They released it under an MIT license. It is completely unrestricted.
Anyone can use it.
Anyone. U.S. developers are currently downloading and integrating this Chinese architecture into their own products because it is free and is the best available. And as a result, China's weekly large model API calls have actually surpassed the U.S. for 9 consecutive weeks.
Releasing it under an MIT license is a brilliant Trojan horse strategy. By providing the best foundational weights for free, you essentially make Western developers dependent on your architecture.
Yeah, it's wild.
But it is the economic mechanics of their domestic models that are truly revolutionary. DeepSeek is preparing to launch their V4 model in mid-July, and they are introducing a concept that fundamentally changes how we interact with intelligence.
Right.
Peak and off-peak pricing.
This detail stopped me in my tracks. From 9 a.m. to noon and 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., the cost of generating a token is literally doubled.
Doubled.
Surge pricing for thinking.
It strips away the illusion that AI is just software. It reminds you that every token generated requires physical heat, electricity, and highly constrained VRAM in a data center somewhere.
It's physical.
Yes. During business hours, the hardware is saturated. By doubling the price, DeepSeek is treating raw compute exactly like grid electricity or rush hour toll roads. They're forcing the market to route non-essential automated tasks to the middle of the night.
Which completely shifts how a business operates. You know, you have to schedule your heavy data analysis for 3 a.m. when the thinking is actually cheap.
Exactly.
But here's where China's strategy splits. They are flooding the globe with free open weight models and optimizing the brutal physics of data centers. But their new domestic regulations are incredibly restrictive. On July 15th, they're activating the AI Anthropomorphic Interaction Service Management Provisional Measures.
Which is a heavily bureaucratic title for a very, very aggressive social control mechanism.
Very aggressive. It forces mandatory identity labeling on all AI. It requires a hard 2-hour usage alert for the user.
A screen time limit for AI.
Basically. And most incredibly, it mandates a 1-click termination button for any virtual companion or emotional chatbot. They are regulating AI companions with the same severity as highly addictive narcotics or gambling.
And if you step back, the underlying logic is profound. China clearly views foundational AI, the models themselves, as a vector for global geopolitical dominance. But they view the application layer, specifically emotional and psychological engagement with bots, as a profound domestic threat.
That is such an interesting contrast.
They want to supply the world's cognitive infrastructure, but they absolutely refuse to let their own citizens become emotionally paralyzed by synthetic relationships.
So they are aggressively pushing the raw technology out into the world while strictly quarantining the psychological side effects at home. Meanwhile, if we pivot back to the West, the governments aren't really trying to manage emotional dependency. The tech giants are just locked in a vicious multi-billion-dollar cage match over hardware and copyright law.
The Western landscape has definitely shifted from a race for intelligence parity to a brutal war of attrition over raw materials.
Let's track the intelligence parity first. Anthropic is surging. The moment the U.S. Commerce Department lifted those June export bans, Anthropic's Claude Fable 5 model rocketed back to the number one spot in coding, scoring an 80.3% on the SWE Bench Pro metric.
That coding metric is critical. The export bans heavily target models with autonomous coding capabilities because of the cybersecurity implications.
Right, it's a security risk.
The second Anthropic proved they met the compliance standards. They unleashed a model that fundamentally outperforms its peers in complex software engineering.
And they are aggressively pricing it. Claude Sonnet 5 is now the default for free and pro users. It is charging $2 for input and $10 for output per million tokens.
Very competitive.
Very. But what caught my eye is the behavioral tuning. They specifically engineered it to have significantly less hallucination and far less sycophancy.
Which solves a massive enterprise problem. I mean, if you are a law firm using AI to analyze a hostile merger, you do not want a digital assistant that just enthusiastically agrees with your flawed assumptions to make you happy.
No, that could cost millions.
You need a model that pushes back.
But pushing back requires massive, massive computing power, which brings us to the hardware war. Meta is officially opening Meta Compute this July. They are taking their vast reserves of excess AI infrastructure and renting it out at a 20 to 30% discount to deliberately undercut Amazon Web Services and Microsoft Azure.
A huge discount.
Yeah. And they are fueling this with an astronomical capital expenditure projection for 2026, between $115 to $135 billion.
Consider the mechanism of Meta's strategy here. By open sourcing the Llama models, Meta essentially destroyed the business model of selling proprietary AI weights.
They made the core product free.
Right. They commoditized the software. Now that the software is free, the only way to make money is by renting out the shovels the compute required to run it.
Sell the pickaxes during the gold rush.
Exactly. And they are willing to spend over $100 billion just to become the discount utility provider of the AI era.
And the venture capital is still just pouring into infrastructure. Together, AI just closed an $800 million Series C, heavily backed by Aramco Ventures out of Saudi Arabia, valuing them at $8.3 billion.
So much money.
So the hardware side is a pure money cannon. But then you look at the legal and regulatory side in the West, and it is a complete bloodbath.
The compliance costs are becoming an existential threat to these companies. We really have to look at the EU AI Act, which enforces its new transparency and watermarking duties on August 2nd.
Right. Mandatory AI generation labels for everything. Though the deepfake-specific labeling got pushed back to December.
Yeah, slight delay there.
But the penalty for noncompliance is what is crazy. Up to 35 million euros, or 7% of global revenue.
Lawyer King Jin Kim issued a very stark warning about this specific clause. 7% of global revenue, not just European revenue.
Bull, that's insane.
For a company like Meta or Microsoft, a single systemic failure in their watermarking pipeline could trigger a fine that fundamentally wipes out their annual profit margins.
Wow.
He stresses that any company touching European users must overhaul their labeling architecture immediately. The era of asking for forgiveness instead of permission is officially over.
Especially when you look at the copyright lawsuits. Over in New York, a coalition of 35 publishers representing over 400 local news brands, they are actively suing OpenAI and Microsoft.
Yet another lawsuit.
They are claiming unauthorized scraping and the deliberate deletion of copyright metadata. And this is OpenAI's 26th active major lawsuit.
Which reveals the new barrier to entry. To compete in foundational AI today, you don't just need a brilliant team of researchers. You need $100 billion for data centers and a private army of litigators to survive the copyright and regulatory minefields.
The move fast and break things philosophy has officially been replaced by pay the lawyers and buy the hardware.
Exactly.
Which frankly feels completely overwhelming. We're talking about trillion-dollar sovereign funds, $70 billion lawsuits, and governments acting like cartel bosses. But this brings us to the most practical part of today's deep dive.
Yes, the actionable part.
Because all of this geopolitical maneuvering eventually trickles down to the tools you're using at your desk right now.
The question is, exactly how do you, as an individual user, navigate models that are becoming so complex and powerful that they actively pollute your workflow?
Right. If you use AI for anything complex, like coding, deep research, data analysis, you know the pain of context window pollution.
Oh, it's the worst.
You ask the model a big question. It realizes it needs to go check an authentication flow or read a massive legal document. Suddenly, your clean chat interface is flooded with hundreds of lines of search logs, raw code snippets, and messy reasoning steps. It completely derails your train of thought.
Because the model is doing its messy scratchpad work in the same cognitive space where it is trying to communicate with you.
Right in front of you.
The context window gets bloated, the model loses the thread of your original instructions, and the output degrades.
So the briefing outlines a specific, brilliant mechanism to fix this. Claude Code Subagents. Instead of letting the AI vomit all its research into your main window, you verbally delegate that specific task to an isolated subagent.
A dedicated worker.
Yeah. You tell the system, spin up a separate agent to investigate this authentication flow.
And the mechanism here is crucial. That subagent operates in a completely isolated context window. It can read 100 pages of logs, make mistakes, and iterate without ever touching your main chat.
It's all hidden.
Once it finds the answer, it synthesizes the final result and passes only that clean insight back to your main workspace.
It is exactly like running a high-end commercial kitchen. If you are the head chef, you do not chop the raw onions on the same cutting board where you are plating the delicate main course.
No, it would be a mess.
You hand the raw onions to a sous chef in the corner. They deal with the mess, the tears, and the waste. They bring you the perfectly diced onions in a clean bowl. You stay focused on the big picture.
It is a perfect structural analogy, and what elevates this workflow is parallel execution. You can dispatch three different sous chefs to research three different problems simultaneously.
Wow, that's huge.
Furthermore, you can codify this management structure. If you have a highly specific way you want financial reports summarized, you can write those instructions into a markdown file and save it in a local folder called .claude/agents.
Oh, so you are basically writing a job description for a digital employee.
Precisely. If you provide a clear trigger description in that file, the main AI model will automatically recognize when a task requires that specific subagent, and it will silently delegate the work without you even having to prompt it.
It just knows.
You transition from being a user of a chatbot to the executive director of an automated workforce.
That is incredibly powerful. It takes the massive, chaotic scale of these frontier models and domesticates them into a manageable local system for you.
Which is exactly what you need right now.
We have covered a staggering amount of territory today. We started with OpenAI trying to buy regulatory freedom with $42 billion. We trapped the panic in Asia as nations spend trillions to build independent GPU bunkers to escape American control.
A lot of bunkers.
A lot of bunkers. We watched China weaponize free software globally while strictly regulating emotional AI domestically. And we broke down how you can use isolated subagents to tame these massive models on your own laptop.
The through line here is control. Whether it is a sovereign nation trying to control its digital borders, a corporation trying to control the hardware market, or an individual trying to control their context window, intelligence is no longer just a tool. It is a highly volatile resource that must be managed.
And on that note, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, connecting the macroeconomics with your daily life. Earlier, we discussed DeepSeek introducing surge pricing doubling the cost of AI during business hours.
All right.
And we saw nations like Japan stockpiling GPUs as if they were national reserves.
It forces us to ask a deeply uncomfortable question about the future of cognitive labor.
Right. If raw intelligence is now subject to peak hour pricing, and physical compute is being hoarded by nation states, how long until we see AI compute traded on global commodity exchanges right next to barrels of crude oil and bushels of wheat?
It's coming.
And if the literal act of thinking becomes a dynamically priced utility, what does that mean for the startups, the students, or the independent creators who can only afford to solve their hardest problems during off-peak hours? Are we moving toward a world where your capacity to innovate is entirely dictated by what time of day you can afford to turn the lights on in your brain?
It's a sobering thought.
That is a profound shift in how society operates. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the systems building the future around you, and we will catch you next time.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.